all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to Minister William West, to our own Deacon Andrew Harrison, to the deacons, officers, members, Ebenezer. Amen. To our family and friends who have joined us both in person and online. We do thank God. Amen. For this, not just another first Sunday, but for this particular Sunday. Because this is the only Sunday we have right now. Amen. To praise God for all that he has done. We do look forward to next week. Amen. Amen. The inaugural investiture. You know, if you come around Ebenezer for 2 months, you learn new words. And so if I'm going to learn sesquicentennial, you're going to learn inaugural investiture. it's a trade-off. But we do look forward to next week. We're grateful for those who took out their time on yesterday to come with some of the cleanup. I did show up just in time for the benediction. I showed up. I waited till all of it was moved and everybody was on their way home. I came in just in time to say, thank God. And so we are excited for next week, especially for what God is doing at Ebenezer. Amen. God is still blessing Ebenezer, not just with regular stuff, but he's blessing Ebenezer with miracle stuff. And that's how we know is of him. We want to thank the choir this morning. Amen. Amen. Especially grateful for our own minister of music, Brother Moshe. Amen. He has a lot on his plate with the inaugural investiture as well as the choir musicale. But in the midst of all that, he had to take out time to perform ministry of consolation and comfort those in the time of bereavement. And so we do thank God for him and the traveling grace that God has allowed him to go and to come back safe and sound. Amen. If you would, we would like to call your attention to Genesis chapter 41. First Sunday in September, we looked at part one of this story of Joseph, the story of Joseph. And today we want to look at Genesis chapter 41, beginning at verse 32. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of Moses, these words are recorded. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. We read into your hearing Genesis chapter 41, verses 32 through 40. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. This morning, we want to simply talk about I Have a Dream 2, 2.0. The second part of I Have a Dream 2. And I think it's important for people to have a dream. When you go through school, they ought to have a dream of what you're trying to become. When you're in classes and in your community, you should have a dream for your life. The story of Joseph is a tragic story. It's a story of triumph. It's a story of ups. It's a story of downs. It's a story much like our own story, a story of at times being the favorite son, but at times being forsaken, at times being recognized, but also at times being forgotten. All right. Joseph went from his parents' house to a pit, from a pit to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to prison, and from prison to now standing in front of Pharaoh. After Joseph shared his dream with his brothers, the scriptures record that they hated him for it. And in fact, they threw him in a pit. One decided not to take his life, but to sell him off into slavery. There in slavery, Joseph rose to be the right hand of Potiphar. He became the second in command of Potiphar's house. And in Genesis chapter 39, we find that Joseph had been thrown in prison. He was framed. It was a setup. The Potiphar's wife framed him for improper conduct, and he was thrown in jail. And then in jail, he met a cupbearer and the baker. And they too had a dream. The cupbearer had a dream. The baker had a dream. Each of them had a dream that they did not understand. Each had a dream that they couldn't comprehend the meaning. Each had a dream that they did not understand. Yet in prison, they were able to consult with Joseph, and Joseph was able to give them the interpretation of their dream. The cupbearer's dream was that in 3 days, the Pharaoh will restore him. The baker's dream, however, was in 3 days, the Pharaoh will kill him. Both had the answer and the interpretation of their dream. And Joseph tells the cupbearer, when you are restored to your position, remember me. I don't know if you ever felt forgotten, felt left out of God's plan and God's actions and what God is doing. Surely Joseph could understand that feeling. One day he's the favorite son of his father, wearing a coat of many colors. The next day he finds himself in a pit. One day he is running the household of Potiphar, and the next day he finds himself in prison. One day he is standing there with the cupbearer and the baker and sharing with them the interpretation of their dream, and the next day he is forgotten. Joseph's life is a life that many of us ought to be able to remember. A life that we can identify with. A life with dreams, but also with disappointments. Life with triumphs, but also with trials. One of the things that you find unique about Joseph is that he was always in the second chair. Joseph was under Jacob's authority. Joseph was under Potiphar's authority. Joseph was under the prison warden's authority. And yet he rose to only to be the second chair. You know, some people have spent all their lives only to find themselves in the second chair. We live in a day and time now where people look down on people who are in the second chair. Or in sports, they have this great debate about who is the GOAT between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. Somebody is looking down on second place. If you talk about the two greatest basketball players, what's wrong with second place? What's wrong with being second in command? What's wrong with being in second chair? In fact, Jesus used the second chair as an example of great faith. You remember the centurion came to Jesus with a servant that was sick. And Jesus said, take me to your house. And that centurion said, man, don't worry about coming in my house. You just speak the word. If you speak the word here, my servant will be healed there. And he said, because I understand being in the second chair. I understand having authority and being under authority. I have authority that if I tell men to go, they will go. But there are those that are over me that if they tell me to go, I have to go. And Jesus said, oh, great faith. When you can understand second chair, having authority and being in authority, God can use you for great faith. You know, so many people are so trying to be number one. They're trying to be the top. They're trying to be first. But brothers and sisters, I come by today to tell you it's okay to be second chair. As long as you know who's in the first chair. I don't mind being second chair as long as Jesus is the head of my life. I don't mind riding shotgun as long as Jesus is doing the drive. I don't mind being a co-pilot as long as Jesus is the pilot of my life. And when you're in the second chair, you're going to have some great faith. You're going to have to trust in the Lord. Joseph understood that he was in second chair because when he shares the interpretation of the dream to Pharaoh, Pharaoh asks for an interpretation. And in verse 16, Joseph tells Pharaoh, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And brothers and sisters, when you know that you are dependent upon God, you know that it is God that's able to give the answer. It's God that's able to give the solution. It's God is able to fix it. Joseph said, don't look at me. Look to God. And when we're trying to serve God, we have to understand that he gives us certain authority. But yet our authority is under his authority. And Joseph understood this. Not only did Joseph understand that he was under authority and having authority, he also understood that dreams need a plan. Now, when Joseph shared his dream with his brothers, I don't think Joseph knew that he needed a plan. Because if he knew that he needed a plan, I don't think he would have found himself in the pit. In fact, if he knew that he needed a plan, I wouldn't have went out there looking for them boys. I would have stayed home comfortably with my father in my coat of many colors. If he knew what that dream was going to take him through, Joseph never would have went through it. Isn't that true for some of us? For some of us, if we knew the pain that we would have had to go through, we wouldn't have done it. But if it wasn't for that pain, we wouldn't be present. If it wasn't for those trials and tribulations, we wouldn't have the testimony that we have today. If it wasn't that God has brought us through, we wouldn't be able to testify that God is able to keep you, that God is able to watch over you. God is able to guide you. Yes, Joseph, somewhere along the line, he had to pick up an education about dreams. Yes, his education prepared him for dreams. He was a high school valedictorian when he shared the family dream. He was a college class president when he began to demonstrate faith in another's household. And finally, when you think about dreams as much as Joseph did, you earn a PhD in dreams, and your dissertation is you need a plan. You need a plan if you have a dream. Yes, he had done extensive research looking into this issue of what his dream meant for him and his family. And yet, in thinking about his dream, he learned how to interpret dreams and have a plan. You remember the dream he shared with his brothers? His brothers gave the interpretation. His brothers said, it is about you ruling over us. And you have to be careful of allowing other people to interpret your dream. You can't just let everybody. See, some people will say, well, don't tell everybody. If you don't tell everybody, you don't have to worry about the hateful brothers. But the problem with that, if you don't tell everybody, then you're not being obedient to God, because God wants us to tell everybody. We're not to be worried about people. We are to trust in the Lord. Joseph's dream had prepared him with a plan, and he tells Pharaoh, you had a dream, now you need a plan. He said, look, you need to find somebody discerning and wise. Put him in charge of the land of Egypt. That person appoint commissioners over the land to take up a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. And then in the 7 years of famine, they're able to distribute the saved up food. Now, I don't know how fast Joseph came up with that plan, because I can only imagine Pharaoh's dream wasn't common conversation in the prison. See, he had just been told the dream only a few minutes ago. And yet Joseph knew that if you have a dream, your dream needs a plan. And so he gives him a plan. And the plan is to prosper you. The plan is to protect you. Joseph's plan is the same plan that the father tells Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. This is Joseph's plans for Pharaoh. Listen, God didn't send you this dream to destroy you. He sent the dreams to warn you. And since God has given you the warning, it only behooves you to make plans. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling some of us this morning that God has been warning us. God has been warning us that we're just passing through this land. God has been warning us that we did not come here to stay. God has been warning us that this world is not our home. You'll never be comfortable in this world. You'll never find peace in this world. There always will be fighting. There will always be the rich trying to rob from the poor. There will always be bank robbers. There will always be murderers. That's why God says, I got a place all prepared for you. But you better have a plan to get to that place. You got to have a plan. Joseph had a plan, and his plan wasn't about buildings. His plan wasn't, you're going to need some more equipment. His plan was people. The plan is always people. He said, you need somebody to look over all this. Then that somebody needs to appoint other people to look over some of that. It is the same plan that Moses' father-in-law gave Moses. Said, Moses, you need to look out and find people. People that can be charged over hundreds and people that can be charged over 50s. You need to find you some people. And I know America, we're a place of consumers. It used to be a working place. It used to be a working country, a country of the working class. We was hard working, clock in early and stay late kind of people. It was the kind of people where we worked from sun up to sundown. But now we're more of a consumer nation. We're more about buying. We treat all of life like we're going into Walmart. We can pick what we want, walk past what we don't want, and fuss about what they don't have that we did want. We treat life like a consumer. Even in the house of the Lord, we come into the house of the Lord with a shopping cart and say, give me a little preaching, give me a little singing, give me a little prayer. But you can leave all that sacrificing on the shelf. You can leave all that fasting on the shelf. You can leave all that hard work on the shelf. I just want to pick and choose what I pick up. And brothers and sisters, that's the truth today. Even in the church today, you can't pick and choose what you want. You got to take the whole thing. You got to take the suffering with the singing. You got to take the pain with the praise. It all comes together. And Joseph said, you need to get the right people. But then Pharaoh says, who else? Who else can handle this position? You need a proper position in order to execute your plan. Listen, you can't. See, some people got plan, but you ain't got the position. I know that because they keep telling me their plans. But. The same was true with David. You remember, David received the anointing before he got the position. So all those years, David was on the run from King Saul. He knew that the position that the king was in was his. But he couldn't do anything about it until he got in position. And many of us, we have to patiently wait until God create a newly position for us. Amen. Now Joseph gets a brand new position, but it with the same old limitations. Not only he was over Potiphar's house, over everything but Potiphar. He was over the prison, over everything but the warden. Now he's going to be over Egypt, over everything but Pharaoh. It's a newly created position with the same old limitations. Again, another temporary second place, second in command, vice Pharaoh position. Joseph had to be in position for God to work out the dream he had given him. See, the dream was not to help Pharaoh. The dream was to provide for his family. The dream that he had was that he'll be able to handle and take care of his family. And now he knows that there is a famine coming aboard. Right. There is a famine coming, and Joseph is still trying to fulfill the dream that he had. Amen. And brothers and sisters, so it's true with us today. When we find ourselves in position, God can use us to make our dreams come true. When we find ourselves in the place that God has assigned us, not mine or yours or his or theirs, nothing jealousy or envy, but find the place that God has assigned you. Now, I found out on Southwest, they now have assigned seats. What is the world coming to? Even Southwestern learned that everybody needs an assigned seat. Everybody needs their own place. And God has a place for each and every one of us in the body of Christ. We don't have to bicker with one another. He has enough room in his house. Enough place for each and every one of us so that we can bring our dream to fruition. That our dreams can come true. Yes, brothers and sisters, I have a dream too. And my dream is not based or not rooted in the American dream. My dream is rooted in the Word of God. And in the Word of God, if we have a plan, if we continue to trust in the Lord will bring our dreams to pass. He will allow us the opportunity to provide not only for our families today, but to provide for our families in the future. God is able to provide through us, our people, not only in the here and now, but when we're dead and gone. Yes, Joseph had a dream. Butler had a dream. The baker had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. And I have a dream too. And the same God who is able to bring their dream to pass. It's the same God I'm trusting in. It's the same God I'm believing in. The same God who is able to bring our dream to reality. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. As the deacons come and the greeters come, we want you to know that they are here for you. If you need somebody to walk with you, just hold up your hand, and a greeter will walk with you. If you're online, if you'll put something in the chat, we have people online, they will respond. But if you're here today, we invite you to come. Come by Letter of Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. To our college students, we want you to know here at Ebenezer, we have a watch care program. You come and you can have all of the church advantage a young person can have. At this time, will you come? Will you come?
At this time, if you would, make yourselves ready for the administration of the Holy Communion.